Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman, and I thank you for joining in today for our Bible study and to study God's Word and to honor Him and His Word and show Him that we love Him because we want to know what His Word says and we want to know truth. So I thank you for joining in today, and just wanted to remind you that these studies that we're doing, if you want the I have these on all these studies in written form, and it's kind of like fill in the blank as we go. And if you would like to have any of these studies, you're very welcome to have them absolutely free. I'll email them to you or however we can do it and send them to you, and you can print them, and you'll have every one of the studies that you can sit down with your family and do right there yourself. That's the whole idea of studying God's Word, is so we can learn so that we can teach others. That's what the Scripture says, that we teach others, that we teach people the Word of God, that they can turn around and teach others. So we've been studying on the lesson number 14, and we've been finding out what the Scriptures have to say about the new birth, and that is particularly being born again. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ used, the exact words right there to identify what He was talking about in the Scriptures. And He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again," in John chapter 3, verse 7. So if the Son of God says something in such a way to where it's mandatory and it sounds pretty important, we need to take heed. We need to take heed to what the Lord says. We should take heed to everything the Lord says, but particularly the things that He says, you better pay attention to this. And when He said, ye must, that's God saying something about ye must, not, if you feel like it or if you get around to it. The Lord said, ye must. So there's a lot to it. Now, give us a refresher of what we've been over. We talked about what being born again is not when we began this study. Remember that? And then we went into what being born again is. And then we also, while we were studying, we got down to the part where we was talking about how a man is born again. Remember, we had the scale out, and we talked about that Scripture and how the Lord does His part, and we do our part according to the Scriptures, not as a work, but in faith and obedience to what the Lord said that's got to happen before you can be born again. Okay? And then we talked about, I think it was last recording, we talked about the absolute necessity of the new birth. We talked about because of man's deadness and because of man's flesh and because of man's inability about being born again, that he can't save himself. We can't save ourselves. You got to be holy to save yourself. And human beings are... we'd be lucky to even want to be holy. You know what I'm talking about? It takes God the Holy Ghost power to conform us, to work on conforming us into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and even to give us the mind to want to be holy. When we get to the point in our walk with the Lord where we get so annoyed with ourselves, that's like what Job says. He says, "I'm a burden to myself." You know, and when we get to the point, this world is teaching everybody that humanism and humans are something else, and boy, we're just something else. You all look at us, we're just something else. And positive, 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 positive. And that ain't Bible. That ain't what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures don't teach us to be positive, 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 positive. What the Scripture teaches us, it teaches us what to do by teaching us what not to do. Most of the Scriptures, most of the Holy Bible is written in a negative form because that Bible doesn't think much of human beings. It tells it like it is, and it tells us like we are. And when we agree with it and tell the truth and quit hiding and trying to behave like we something different than what God says we are, then we can get somewhere. But the Lord tries to mold us, the Holy Ghost tries to mold us into and conform our minds to where we have the mind of Christ and to think like Him. And that is a full-time job for the Holy Ghost on some of us, ain't it? Because we're so stubborn to change our mind. That's what the word repent means, to change your mind, to change the way you think about something. And when you change the way you think about it, you'll change the way you behave about it. You see. So today we're going to go into another category of this study of the new birth. And I think we might have one or two, or I don't know. I don't even know why I'm guessing at it. One or two. We don't care how many more we have recordings on this. We'll do them all, won't we? But looks like about one, two, or maybe three more before we finish up this study as far as the ABCs of being born again and what the Bible says about being born again. We've learned quite a bit already, and I hope that you know that you've searched the Scriptures. You've been over them Scriptures that we've been talking about as we've been studying, and that you've been finding out and putting your trust in the Word of God and seeing that it's okay for you to trust God's Word and form your thinking and your doctrine and what you believe around God's Word. That's what God wants us to do, is wants us to believe His Word and live our lives and form our doctrine, what we believe is final authority, around who gets the final say-so and what is the final say-so about anything in life. That's doctrine. And we form our doctrine around the Word of God and through and in the Word of God. And that helps us to know about life and every aspect of life. I was just out there when I was out on the porch doing some laundry, and a neighbor hollered over at me and was talking to me, and somehow we got on the subject of he asked me if he wanted to help me or something about needing to give me a hand. I said, no, actually what I need is I need a third arm, you know, with all this stuff I got to do. And he got to laughing about it. And then I said, well, if we did like all the dummies talk about and we come from all them monkeys, I don't wonder how come we ain't got a tail we can use. A tail, that's like Kent Hovind said one time when he was teaching about that's the dinosaur man, you know. He goes around evangelizing, teaching about what the Bible says about dinosaurs and the new earth, teaching about the earth. He's a science teacher, and he's an evangelist, and he uses science to prove the Bible. And it's a good thing. If you ever get a chance to listen to him, you ought to. He's a wonderful preacher and teacher, and he goes by the Word of God. But, you know, I mean, a tail would come in handy every now and then, wouldn't it? But unfortunately, we ain't got a tail because that stuff ain't true. I don't care where you come from. I didn't come from a monkey. I didn't come from a monkey, and I don't see no half monkeys and half humans walking around. Where are they at? You know, just all that craziness, just craziness. But you see, we get in the Word of God, and we start letting God the Holy Ghost form our thinking for us through the Word of God, and fix our doctrine and the direction that our minds think about when we think about any subject, and we'll think the way that God thinks, you see. And that's what we want to do. Then it'll mold our life and help us to behave and help us react the way that the Lord would be pleased with, and how much better it would do us in our life to do right, wouldn't it? And to make the right decisions about everything. So, let's go on into the next category that we're talking about when it comes to being born again and the new birth. What we're going to talk about first is, what does being born again produce? What does being born again produce? Well, the first thing that being born again produces is a new nature. A new nature. We just now talking about that, wasn't we? Everybody's got a nature. The Bible talks about the natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Everybody has a nature. And the Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, which is having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So being born again, what does it produce? And when you're born again and you are become saved and adopted into the family of God, well, one thing that it produces is a new nature. It begins just like what we was talking about. God, the Holy Ghost, moves into your body, and he begins to teach you because he is our teacher. And he gets us in the scriptures, and he starts teaching us what truth is, and he begins to start giving us a new nature and teaching us about how we ought to think, about how we ought to speak, about just a whole new nature, where it says, but it's not just any old nature, it's a divine nature. We have God's nature now. We have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in us, and God himself dwelling in us. And we have a divine nature, you see, a nature that is like the Lord. It's divine. And whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. The Lord has given us quite a bit. Whenever we're born again, we're going to go over that toward the end of this. There's a lot of things that happen when you're born again that a lot of people don't know about, and the churches aren't teaching the flock these things, and they're ABC things that you're going to see. But there's a lot of things that take place whenever you're born again, and when you have received Jesus as your Savior and believed on him. There's a lot of legal things with the Lord that take place, and a lot of spiritual things. We'll go over that toward the end of the end of this study, and you'll see that when you got born again, you didn't get a new nature and enter into God's family. There's a whole lot of things that went on. And God's courtroom, there was some business with your name on it that went on, and a lot of stuff like that. So we'll be looking at some of that, and trying to learn together about this being born again. But a new nature, and that's not all. What else does being born again produce? Well, it produces a new creature. Now, all your new versions say a new creation. Now, I don't know if it's all of them, but a lot of them do say a new creation. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says a new creature. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, of course, we know that the Bible is not declaring that everything, and you know that from being born again. If you're born again, you know that when you got saved, everything didn't change right away, immediately. You didn't become perfect like Jesus Christ right away, but everything began to be changing. You can testify to that, can't you? There's things that the Lord takes from you immediately, and you are cleansed from immediately, maybe a filthy mouth, or maybe smoking, or maybe drinking, or maybe hanging around in the wrong places with the wrong company, you know, things like that, or anything for that matter. Some things the Lord takes from you immediately, and some things it takes years and years for you to let go of or to be purged from and to become like Christ in that category or in that place in your life. So another thing that being born again produces is a new creature. You become a new creature. The Bible says that if you're in Christ, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. If there ain't no change, there ain't no change. Did you get that? There's a lot of people that claim to be born again and that they walk with Christ and that they're saved and on their way to heaven. But you sure can't tell any kind of change. And the Bible says that you're a new creature. Something, old things ought to be passing away. And all things ought to be becoming new. If they're not, they need to check up and see what's going on. Because if God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, the Bible says, he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So if God the Holy Ghost is not doing anything to change you or to change something in you, and you're not, at least he's doing is aggravating you to death because of your sin. Because he ain't gonna give you no rest about you. God the Holy Ghost is holy. And he dwells in you, and he wants you to be holy. And he wants you to put that flesh down and step on its neck and tell it no. And if you're catering to the flesh, God the Holy Ghost is going to remind you of them things. And he's going to tell you. And he does it the way that God does it. Sometimes he pulls out the strap, and sometimes he does it with grace and mercy. But either way, it's all new. There's things changing. And you become a new creature. So what does being born again produce? It produces a new nature. It produces a new creature. And that's not all. Another thing that being born again produces is a changed life. A changed life. Now, it don't matter how many people say, you know, I'm under grace and I'm not under the law anymore and I don't have to do it. Well, that's exactly right. But the only difference in being under grace and being under the law is kind of like driving your car down the road and seeing the speed limit signs. And the speed limit tells you 40 miles an hour, and you're riding down the road and you see a policeman pass by you, and all of a sudden you check up. And every one of us do. You check up. Okay, because you know there's a law on them signs that tells you what speed you're supposed to be going. But when Jesus came, see, that's under the law. You're living under the law. And when you see the police come by, automatically it reminds you of the law. Okay, but when Jesus came, he took up all the speed limit signs and took the law away. And now you can drive down the road and go any speed you want to, but because you are a new creature and things are changing, you drive with everybody else in your thoughts. In other words, you're not driving in rebellion anymore. You're not driving in hatred and malice anymore. You're driving down the road because you care about everybody else's safety and you behave accordingly. You do it because you want to, not because you have to. See, when the law was there, the speed limit signs was up on the road, and you had to do it. And if you didn't, you got punished. But when Jesus came, he took all them speed limit signs away and said, you're free from the law now. But now we drive properly because we want to, not because we have to. Did you get that? Makes sense, don't it? Same thing the Lord did. There ought to be a changed life. In Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 11, listen to this. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin, that says, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ the Lord. A changed life. You see, the Bible says things ought to be changing. And it not only says that things ought to be changing because God the Holy Ghost is changing them in you, but you are changing them in you because of what Christ has done for you. So, if you're not appreciating what Christ did for you and thinking about that Christ took away your sins and took them away and saved you and forgave you all your trespasses, if that does not make a difference in you, even if you're wicked and you're behaving in your life like you're an idiot, it ought to still have an effect and make you ashamed. You see? And if it don't make you ashamed and you got no shame after you thinking about what Jesus, and it makes no difference in your mind or in your heart, then there's a question of whether God the Holy Ghost is in you because he makes a difference. A changed life. You see, we ask the question of what does it produce? Well, it produces a changed life. Being born again produces a changed life. Another one, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, but we all, notice how many, all of us, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Did you get that? He said, everybody's born again, all of us, as looking in an open face beholding in a glass. In other words, we can't see it clearly, but we can see it. We can see it. In a glass, the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's what we was just talking about. If you're born again, there ought to be some kind of change going on, whether it be slow, whether it be fast, whether it be immediate, whether it take years to purge, whatever it is, you ought to be conforming into the image of Christ and getting ready for eternity and turning into the person that you're going to be for eternity. And one thing about it, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. You get serious about serving with the Lord and being obedient to him, you're going to love that person the Lord's turning you into. He ain't turning you into a monster. He's turning you into holiness. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness, that we be like him. And speaking of holy, that's the next thing in our study here. What does being born again produce? It produces a holy life. A holy life. I confess I don't know everything about being holy because I don't know everything about God. But the things that I have learned ought to be evident in my life, shouldn't they? I mean, if you've been taught it by the Lord, then it ought to be in effect, right? I mean, if it comes down to just you being holy because you've been taught to be holy, and the Lord, I mean, I ain't talking about Hut 2, 3, 4 and the law kind of holiness. I'm talking about real holiness, godliness, godly holiness, real holiness, holiness like Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says this, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. Now, this is not talking about that once you get saved that you don't sin. It's saying that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. In other words, you don't want to sin. For his seed, God the Holy Ghost, remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he's born of God. So if God the Holy Ghost dwells in you, who is the third person of the Godhead that is holy, then he's going to produce holiness in you. And your relationship with him walking with you and being in you and living in you is going to cause you to want to be holy and not to sin. You ain't going to want to not sin so you don't get caught. You're going to want to not sin because you don't want to be that kind of person no more. Because you're becoming holy and you're thinking like God. You see. And that's not all. What else does being born again produce? Well, being born again produces righteousness. It produces righteousness. I heard an explanation of righteousness, and it's just doing what's right. It produces righteousness, but God's righteousness. Not righteousness by the law. God's righteousness. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. Listen to this. It says, if ye know that he is righteous. Do you know that God is righteous? Okay, 1 John 2, 29 says, if ye know that God, that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. But talking about doing righteousness according to the way the Lord talks about. Not doing righteousness to get something out of it. Doing righteousness the way that the Lord talks about what righteousness is. The righteousness of God. The love of Christ. And speaking of the love of Christ, that's another thing that being born again produces. It produces Christ-like love. Not the love of the world. Not this thing that most of the time, anytime you see love written or put up on a billboard or spoken on the radio or the television or anything, the world identifies love as sex. It's perverted. It doesn't mean what the Bible means about Christ-like love. Christ-like love is first sacrificial. It costs you something to love like Christ. Worldly love is selfish. Christ-like love is sacrificial. See the difference? And that's just one difference. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, listen to this. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Now, we're talking about Christ-like love. We're talking about sacrificial love. We're talking about a whole new kind of love that has been placed in your heart and in you by God the Holy Ghost. Presence in you, and you cannot help but love the brethren. It didn't say love the world and love all the heathen and all the ones that are out there that hate God. It didn't say that. It says because we love the brethren. The world is not the brethren, and the unsaved are not the brethren. The Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And he's not talking about your physical brother or sister. He's talking about your brother, your spiritual brother in Christ, the saved, the family of God, the body of Christ, the church. And if you're born again, you can testify to that. You can't explain it, and you can't define it, but there is a love that's different than anything else that you have, that you could have never come up with. It was given to you. A love in you that causes you to love the people that are in your family, the brethren in the family of God. And the Bible says, if that's in you, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you love the brethren? I didn't say you get upset with them. You didn't argue with them and fight with them and blah-bitty-blah-bitty. That's all in church too, yeah. But I said, do you love them? If you do, that's evidence that God the Holy Ghost and the love of Christ is dwelling in you and that you're born again. And that's not all. What's another thing being born again produces? Well, another thing that being born again produces is victory. Victory. The more of the Word of God you begin to study, just like you're doing right this very minute, the more of the Word of God that you study and you start gathering truths and believing them and incorporating them into your mind and your thinking and in your behavior and into your life, the more you become like the Lord and the more you think like the Lord and the more that you understand what the Scriptures say, the more you find out that you have the victory. The Lord has already given you the victory. Now, this life and being in this body and this flesh and this deteriorating flesh that's dying and going back to the grave doesn't feel like a victory every now and then. And all the living in this world and all the disgust and deceit and lying and deceiving and cheating and just all the garbage that goes on in the world doesn't feel like the victory a lot of times. And then the spiritual battle that you're in all the time, when you're trying to live for the Lord and you're the devil and the flesh and the world are fighting against you, and they are our enemies, according to the Bible. With all that going on, it doesn't feel like the victory a lot of times. But if you believe God, the Bible teaches you that you, if you're born again, that you have the victory. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4, listen to this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. You ready for this? Even our faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I have a hard time overcoming the world, don't you? But ever since I've been born again, there has been a change about the world having authority over me and having control over me. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The faith that we have in our God and His Word and watching His power work behind His Word and in and through our lives increases our faith and our belief and our trust in Him, and we have the victory. And our victory is going to our victory is going to mature, and it is maturing, but it's going to come to a climax. When the Lord comes to get us and we get a new body and we go into eternity and we don't have to fight with this flesh no more. We don't have to fight with wicked thinking in our mind and the old nature. We don't have to fight with the world system and we don't have to fight with the devil anymore. We're in eternity, and we have a body like Christ, like unto His glorious body. We have the mind of Christ. We think like Him. We can't think of anything ungodly or unholy or nasty, disgusting thoughts going through our mind when we're praying. And all these things that we fight with now, the Bible says we have the victory. But it doesn't feel like we have the victory. Through our faith overcomes all the things in the world that fight against us and try to show us that we don't have the victory and that we're defeated. But our faith shows us that we indeed do have the victory, and that one day it's going to come to a climax, and we're going to be mature in our victory. We'll have maturity in our victory. We'll have a what's the word? Give it to me. I can't think of the word, but you know what I'm talking about. It'll be finished. It'll be like the Lord wanted it to be, like what He died for, is so that we could be back with Him and like Him, like Adam and Eve started out, and in fellowship and walking through the garden with Him. You see? So isn't that wonderful? We have the victory. And we do. And we do. And the more that you study God's Word and the more of God's Word that you get into your mind and into your thinking and begin to make yourself believe God's Word on purpose. I mean, if you don't believe God's Word, you're going to believe somebody's Word. You're going to believe the world's word. You're going to believe the television's word. Maybe Dr. Phil's word, huh? You're going to believe somebody's word. It's your choice who you believe and what you believe. Now, what is God the Holy Ghost leading you to believe? He's leading you to believe the Word of God and increase your faith in the Word of God. And the more that you do, and you have to do that on purpose. You have to practice believing the Lord. But we have the victory. And that's not all. What else do we have? Well, being born again, it produces growth. Being born again and being born again, it produces growth. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1 and 2 says this: wherefore laying aside, notice whose responsibility is. Wherefore laying aside, who is it that's responsible for that? Well, according to Peter, it's us. He's talking to us. It's our responsibility to lay aside something. But we grow. Now look what Peter says growing is. Watch this. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies. According to Peter, laying these things aside is called growth. And hypocrisies and envies. All evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. So part of growing is putting something off, laying it aside. And another part of growing is desiring God's Word, the milk of God's Word, that we may grow. Being born again produces growth. And notice what it says, as newborn babes, being born again, brand new, desire the sincere milk of the Word. That's the instructions to somebody that's been born again, is to begin to desire God's Word and to be fed from God's Word. Desire it. Desire is something that you have control over. You do it on purpose. You see how that works? Another thing that being born again produces is knowledge. Knowledge. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16, the Bible says this. Listen to this. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know knowledge, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Remember, we was talking about him working in you. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen to this. This is what we talked about a while ago. But the natural man, the unsaved man, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. In other words, he don't understand them, and he doesn't absorb them or desire them. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. They're encrypted through God the Holy Spirit. You see. And it says, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Do you see that? The Bible says not that when we're born again, do we desire growth and have the victory and have the love of Christ in us, and a new kind of love that we've never known before, and we begin want a desire righteousness and a holy life, but we get a new knowledge that the world cannot understand. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world. There is a worldly spirit out there. But the Spirit, which is of God, is what we've received, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Isn't that wonderful? Another thing, that's not all. Another thing that being born again, it produces, is fruitfulness. You see, when we was in the world and living for the world and living for worldly things and didn't think about God or care about what he thought, where'd you get? Where's the profit at? I mean, you got up and worked every day. You save money, keep a bank account, blobbity, 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 blob. Where's all the profit? Where's the fruit? There ain't no fruit from the world, is there? I mean, there ain't no fruit. You work all your life, you do the same things over and over and over and over and over, and then you die and go to hell. But that's not like being born again and being in the family of God. There is true fruitfulness being in the body of Christ. The Bible says in John chapter 15, verse 5, I am the vine, Jesus talking, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, in other words, you keep walking with the Lord, you don't abandon him, you don't become unsaved, you just abandon him, and you stop getting your sustenance from him, and your vitality from the Lord, and your learning, and your life from the Lord. You have eternal life, but you quit being fed from the Lord. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. So, that's where we get into different walks of Christianity. There are people that are faithful to the Lord, and you can tell by their battle scars and their suffering for the Lord. The Bible says if we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. The Bible says it's appointed, that we are appointed to suffering. If you name the name of Christ, you will suffer some kind of persecution, and you will suffer something having to do with the Lord. Now, we don't like suffering, and we don't desire it. I don't like suffering, Brother TV. Well, I don't either. But that's the way it is. If you're going to name the name of Christ, and you're going to live honestly, and you're going to live like God the Holy Ghost is teaching you to live, and to this new life and new with God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you, and you live in a spiritual life rather than this worldly and ungodly life, then you're gonna bear fruit. But the way that you're gonna bear fruit is that you're gonna abide in Christ. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And that's what we want to do. We want to bring forth fruit for the Lord and give him glory with our lives. Don't you? Of course you do. That's not all. We're talking about, what does being born again produce? Well, it produces a new nature. It produces a new creature. It produces a changed life. Being born again produces a holy life. Being born again produces righteousness. Being born again produces produces Christ's love, an unexplainable love. That's a new kind of love altogether in you. It's not selfish, and it's not seeking its own. It's seeking the things of others. It's a sacrificial kind of love that only somebody that's born again can understand, because the world does not have this kind of love or understand this kind of love. Being born again produces victory. It also produces growth. And what we just got through talking about was it produces knowledge, a new kind of knowledge, and it produces fruitfulness. And the last thing that we're going to talk about what being born again produces is discipline. You say, I didn't want to hear that one. But it produces discipline. Sooner or later, you're going to get to where you want to serve God on purpose. Even if it's all the way to the point to where you see Him face to face and you say, man, oh man. And you fall down on your face and worship Him, and then feel like a idiot because you wasted your life, is discipline. Listen to this. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, beginning at verse 3, listen to what the Bible says. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he put up with sinners slapping him around and treating him in such a manner that should be contradictory. This is God you're treating like this. Contradiction of sinners. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Think about what Christ has gone through and what he put up with. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Christ did. Christ shed his blood. He died. Against striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards, and not sons. Clear illustration of who's saved and who's not saved there. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down in the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Discipline. The Lord's going to discipline you. And it says all of us, if you're born again and you ain't had a whooping from the Lord, you're either going to get one or either you're not a son. Sooner or later, you're going to get a whipping from the Lord. And he's going to teach you. And he's not going to beat you because of like our fathers on earth did for their pleasure. He's going to whip you to make you more holy. It says that you might be partakers of his holiness. And then he confesses that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. I ain't never enjoyed a whooping, have you? But even with your own children down here on earth, you know it. What's the big saying? And when you're talking to your children, they won't behave and they keep tempting you and trying you and trying you. What do you tell them? You fixing to get it. You're fixing to get it. And they keep on pushing you and pushing you and pushing, and it's like they can't stop misbehaving until you give them a whooping. And they're asking for it. You tell them, you're asking for it. You're asking for it. And then finally you give them a whooping, and what happens after that? They just as fine. It's just like they just took the medicine. And they're just as fine as they can be and well-behaved as they can be. And got no problems anymore. Matter of fact, they're not even being tempted with misbehaving anymore. It's amazing, isn't it? Well, our Heavenly Father is a good Father. And he takes his fatherhood very seriously with us. And if you're going to misbehave, and we all do as Christians, you're going to get a whooping. And the Lord's going to straighten you up one way or the other. The idea is only have to get one whooping for one lesson. Did you get that? Don't be like some stubborn and have to go through the class two or three times before you get it. Because the Lord can make it just as grievous as you need it to be. Because he loves you. So we've been talking about today concerning the new birth. We've been talking about you know what we've been talking about, being born again and what being born again produces. So you see, all the things that we've talked about, and we've talked about several of them, 10 or 11 of them or so, this is not things that the world's interested in. The world's not interested in a new nature. They have the old nature, and that's what's driving them nuts and makes them lust after everything in the world and be selfish and blah-bitty-blah, just like it did us and does try to do to us. They don't care about no change life. They turn over a new leaf and reform themselves and blah-bitty-blah-bitty-blah, but it ain't real, and it don't last, and it doesn't take. They ain't interested in a changed life, or especially a holy life. Now, God is far away from me as possible, and I don't want to be reminded of nothing holy or righteous or any kind of Christ-like love, like going to church and Christ-like love. Don't talk to me about that stuff. It convicts me. And their idea of a victory is completely different than the Bible's description of victory and spiritual victory and victory in the Lord and growth and the knowledge of the Lord. The world doesn't want the knowledge of the Lord. They're kicking the Bible out of schools and taking it away from your young people. Matter of fact, they up there in the high government up there, they're doing everything they can to get rid of the Bible and anything having to do with it, and take all of your rights away as a Christian. Every age has ended in apostasy. Every age has ended in apostasy. Those that have known the truth and walked by the truth, and they turn from it and walk away from the truth. And that's what's happening in America, but that don't have to be us. And it ain't going to be us. That's why we're studying God's Word. It's because we want the victory. And we want to be pleasing to our Lord. So, enough said about that. Let me give you the scriptures. I mean, it's all good. I didn't mean it that way. But what I mean is we're going to stop today. That's what I meant. So let me give you the scriptures concerning what we've talked about today, and you ready? Got your pencils? Okay. Here's the first one. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 through 11. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John chapter 2, verse 29. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12 through 16. John chapter 15, verse 5. And the last one for today is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3 through 13. And there they are. Now, brothers and sisters, like I said, now, if you want copies of these lessons that we're going over, all these scriptures that I give you, they fall right down in, they run parallel. This written lesson runs parallel with what we are, the way that we're going about our lessons here. I mean, in other words, if you had them in front of you and we are studying together, you could go right down through the page and just fill it in as we go. And then you can take these lessons and you can teach others like your children. You ever wondered what kind of material you could use to teach your children the Word of God? You sit down with them and give them copies of these things and let them fill in the blank and just participate in it and talk about it and read the Scriptures. That's all you got to do. Ain't no different than what we're doing right now. So thank you for studying God's Word and for honoring the Lord. I know that He will honor you in return for this, and probably already has. Go back over those Scriptures and read them, and solidify that. Saturate yourself with the Word of God. Talk to you on the next program or recording. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. God bless you. Bye-bye.